The trader's name was Ahmad Mahad Ubai Dulaganji, but he said we could call him Master. We called him Ahmad. He led us through the city to a hillside where his caravan was camped. He owned 100 camels, which he drove along the Silk Road, along with 12 men, 2 goats, 3 horses, and an astonishingly homely woman named Kanuni. He took us to his tent, which was larger than both the houses Joshua and I had grown up in. We sat on rich carpets, and Kanuni served us stuffed dates and wine from a pitcher shaped like a dragon.
"So, what does the Son of God want with my friend Balthazar?" Ahmad asked.
Before we could answer, he snorted and laughed until his shoulders shook and he almost spilled his wine. He had a round face with high cheekbones and narrow black eyes that crinkled at the corners from too much laughter and desert wind.
"I'm sorry, my friends, but I've never been in the presence of the Son of a God before. Which God is your father, by the way?"
"Well, the God," I said. "Yep," said Joshua, "that's the one."
"And what is your God's name?"
"Dad," said Josh. "We're not supposed to say his name."
"Dad," said Ahmad. "I love it."
He started giggling again.
"I knew you were Hebrews and you weren't allowed to say your God's name. I just wanted to see if you would. Dad, that's rich."
"I don't mean to be rude," I said. "And we are certainly enjoying the refreshments. But it's getting late, and you said you would take us to see Balthazar."
"And indeed I will. We leave in the morning."
"Leave for where?" Josh asked.
"Kabul, the city where Balthazar lives now."
I had never heard of Kabul, and I sensed that was not a good thing. "And how far is Kabul?"
"We should be there in less than 2 months, by camel," Ahmad said.
If I knew then what I know now, I might have stood and exclaimed,
"Tarnation, man, that's over 6 inches and 30,000 friendly flyer miles."
But since I didn't know that then, what I said was, "Shit."
"I will take you to Kabul," said Ahmad. "But what can you do to help pay your way?"
"I know carpentry," Joshua said. "My stepfather taught me how to fix a camel saddle."
"And you,"
he looked at me,
"what can you do?"
I thought about my experience as a stone cutter and immediately rejected it. And my training as a village idiot, which I thought I could always fall back on, wasn't going to help either. I did have my newfound skill as a sex educator, but somehow I didn't think there'd be a call for that on a 2-month trip with 14 men and 1 homely woman. So what could I do? What skill had I to gentle the road to Kabul?
"If someone in the caravan croaks, I'm a great mourner," I said. "Want to hear a dirge?"
Ahmad laughed until he shook, then called for Kanuni to bring him his satchel. Once he had it in hand, he dug inside and pulled out the dried newts he'd bought from the old hag.
"Here, you'll be needing these," he said.
Camel's bite. A camel will, for no reason, spit on you, stomp you, kick you, bellow, burp, and fart at you. They are stubborn at their best, and cranky beyond all belief at their worst. If you provoke them, they will bite. If you insert a dehydrated amphibian elbow deep in a camel's bum, he considers himself provoked, doubly so if the procedure was performed while he was sleeping. Camels are wise to stealth. They bite.